We ought to do something special this morning. You guys have been with each other for a pretty much good part of this week. You know each other real well. I think you should know each other so well. I think everybody should just raise their arm. Just raise your arm and stretch. Go ahead and take a good whiff. Look at your neighbor and say, I have rejoiced with you with this pleasant smell. So now you're all awake, whether you want to be or not. Okay. This morning I'm going to talk to you about having private or personal devotions. We talked about the first lesson was, do you really love Jesus or do you really love the Lord? The second message we had was, or the second lesson was, if you love Jesus, then you love others. And then last night we talked about am I doing my best for the Lord? And by doing my best, I realized I'm going to be put down. I'm going to have to put off some things, and I'm going to have to put up a good fight for the Lord. So this morning we're going to talk about private devotions or personal devotions. Now, great men of God were noted for engaging in private devotions. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 63, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it real quick to you. It says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. So in Genesis chapter 24, verse 63, Isaac meditated in the field at evening. In Psalm chapter 55, verse 17, it says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David prayed three times daily. In Psalm chapter 63, verse 6, it says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. David meditated on his bed at night. And then you also have in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel's custom was to pray three times a day. So even private devotions are encouraged by the Son of God. We see in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, that, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus sought a solitary place at early morning and even at late night. We also see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. He counseled his disciples to pray in secret. You may faithfully attend a public worship place like a church with God's people, but do you also take the time to engage in daily private devotions? Each day that you've been here in camp, after each lesson, you broke up into small groups and you discussed the lesson and you asked questions and you listened to each other. You also had morning devotions while you were here. Somebody gave you a devotional. But when you're away from camp, when you go back home, have any of you actually been doing private devotions, getting into the Word of God? So let me show you what this looks like. Sometimes we don't know how to do devotions. When I was your age and I received Christ as my Savior, I didn't know how to do devotions. I didn't know how to read the Bible. I didn't know what chapters and verses were. The Bible is completely different than reading a novel or a book that you would have at the bookstore. There's so many different things about it. So I need a helper. I need a pot holder. Who can be my pot holder? Don't all jump up at once. Who would like to just come up here and just hold the pot?
No skill required.
Okay, come on up here. Be my pot holder. All right. Let me get all this stuff out first. Okay. He's my pot holder. I didn't know if you guys had breakfast or not when I came, so I wanted to make waffles. I like waffles. Who likes waffles? Oh, good. If we have some left over, you can make waffles. Alright. So in order to make waffles, I have to follow the instructions because I'm not a cook. The only thing I can know how to make is spring rolls. That's the only thing my wife and children trust me to make. If I make anything else, I burn it, or I can't even make macaroni and cheese right. Okay, so this one is very simple. It says 1 cup mix, dry measure. Okay, we don't have a cup, so we're going to guess it. See, first of all, I got to open the box. Tuck in to close. Lift here to open. Okay. Okay. Got it. All right. Whatever. All right. Okay. We got it open. All right. I don't have a cup, measuring cup. So, how many teaspoons make a cup? Anybody remember? 2 tablespoons. Is this a tablespoon? What? Oh, never mind. We'll just eyeball it. Okay. That's 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, that looks good. That's good. All right. Then it says 1/4 cup milk. I don't have milk, but I like Coke, so I'm gonna put Coke in there. It's liquid. It'll do the job. I'm so glad that's not baking soda, because then we have a problem. All right. So it also says 1 tablespoon oil. We don't have oil, but I figured chili sauce is about the same. You like it spicy, don't you? All right. Good. The first time I come to Singapore, everybody say, because they think I'm American. I look like you, but I'm American. So I eat the same food you eat, but I don't handle spicy when I first came. So everybody said, you can't handle spicy. I said, no. Okay, no spicy for you. Everything was red. Everything they made for me, they gave me, was red. I said, that looks spicy. No, no spicy. I ate it. I was sweating. My face turned red. All right. So that was 1 tablespoon oil, which is chili. That's good. 1 egg. We need 1 egg. All right. Let's see. Maybe I was supposed to crack it and put it in. Yes. Okay. Good. All right. So we'll mix it. Yes. Shell's good for fiber. You're good. It's fine. Man, how's that smell? Would you eat that waffle?
Yes.
I got a waffle maker. You can make this one with that. Thank you, potholder. That makes an interesting waffle, doesn't it? Yeah, sure. That's what we do sometimes. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 30. As you're getting to verse 5 and 6, let me read you the first 4 verses. It says, the words of Agur, the son of J.K., even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. I'm not good at pronouncing the names. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy, who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended, who hath gathered a wind in his fissus, who hath bound the waters in a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6.
He was reading the first 4 verses.
Yeah. Proverbs chapter 30, and now we're at verse 5 and 6. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou not unto his words, and thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God's word is already pure. and is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And problem is, when we trust in Jesus Christ, when we receive Christ as our Savior, when we first try to read His words, sometimes we put our own opinions into His words. And sometimes we gain something out of it that we think should be gained out of it. The problem is, if I'm trying to make waffles the way I want to make waffles, instead of following the instructions on the box, I'm not going to make good waffles. Even if I like chili, chili might not be the good ingredient to put into a waffle. I like drinking Coke, but that's not going to replace the milk. Okay? You're going to read God's Word because it draws you near to God. God is found by those who seek Him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, David advised his son Solomon to seek after the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2, Azariah told the king Asa to go seek the Lord. God draws near to those who draw near to Him. James chapter 4, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. You can write it down and turn to it later. I'm not going to take time to read them. You also do private devotions because you want to receive spiritual nourishment. That's like as you're here in camp, every time you get hungry, you want some physical food in your body. I heard a lot of you said this morning, I'm starving, I'm about to die. And all you had to look forward to was cereal and banana bread and now waffles. Man cannot thrive on physical food alone. Spiritual food nourishes the soul, according to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Spiritual growth comes from the Word of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. God's Word provides spiritual strength, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. We also have personal devotions because we need to find peace and stability. Peace and stability. This world is filled with anxiety. Prayer provides the antidote, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. I mentioned before how when we first started our deputation for 6 months, I stressed over traveling to different churches in the States because I worried about the finances. I worried about getting to a church and making it home. After 6 months, I realized God provided everything we need. God provided things in the small details to the big details. I remember one time, my wife and I were first married. Our daughter was just born. She was probably about 3-4 months old. And I remember my wife was doing her father's prayer letters, and they were over here in Malacca, Malaysia. And to do the prayer letters, we're supposed to also print them off and put them in envelopes and mail them out. Well, we didn't even have the money to buy the stamps to send out 100 letters. And so we didn't tell anybody. We worried about it. We stopped and prayed. Well, the next morning I got up and I was going to work and I got into the driveway. And we usually left our daughter's stroller in the driveway. And in the driveway, in our daughter's cup holder of her stroller, was a row of stamps. A row of stamps. I don't know how it got there. I don't know who put it there. I just know that my wife and I prayed, and the next morning, after telling no one about this, there's a row of stamps. Our Lord provides, even in the small details. That doesn't mean you don't study and then you go to school and you pray, God, help me pass this test. It doesn't work that way. He's not a magic genie, come and rub the lamp and He comes out. But you do your part, and when you talk to God and you pray, and you have faith in Him, He'll provide for you. So exactly at 6 months into our deputation, I realized all this, and I said, from this whole time, even before our deputation, God always took care of us. Why do I not think that He won't take care of us ever again? And so I stopped worrying. You're going to have anxieties. You're going to have stress in this world. But you don't need to worry because prayer provides the antidote. The world is filled with pitfalls, but God's Word keeps us from falling. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105 and 165. More than ever, you need to take time to get closer to God, to receive spiritual nourishment, and to find peace and stability. The habit of a daily private devotion can go a long way. So, how do you have private devotions or personal devotions? First of all, find a time and place. A time and place. The time may vary for different individuals. The place may also vary for different people. But studies have shown that it takes about 40 days to develop a habit. You do something 40 in a row for 40 days, whether it's good or bad, you've developed a habit. You want to break a habit, for 40 days, do the exact opposite. So it takes 40 days to keep a habit. So maybe when you're doing your personal devotions, you want to find the best place that you're going to go to every time, and you're going to find the best time for you to go at that same time every day. And if you do that for 40 days, then after a while, after 40 days, it should become natural. You're going to go straight to the same place. You're going to go at the same time every day. Why? So that you don't have any distractions. So that you don't just start reading God's Word and you fall asleep. So that you don't just try to figure out, well, where do I start? Personal devotion in God's Word is actually studying God's Word. You want to be able to read the Old Testament and New Testament. You want to do your research in God's Word. The best thing to compare God's Word to is God's Word. So if you start off in Matthew, which is probably a good place to start off with if you first receive Christ as your Savior. Because that tells you a little bit about Jesus' life, where His lineage is and everything like that. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But sometimes you get to a place in the New Testament and you go, why did it mention this? So you go to the Old Testament and you figure out. Sometimes you've got a study Bible like I have here, a Thomas Chain Reference Study Bible. On the margins you have scripture references. Sometimes you have marks in the scriptures to tell you, go look at the scripture references. Those are helpful because that will tell you, okay, this is why I mentioned this in the scripture. Go back to this verse and you might be able to figure it out. Also, if you don't know how to read your Bible, you just receive Christ as your Savior. One of the things I learned was, unlike a regular book, there's no paragraph. A sentence could actually be a whole paragraph in the Bible. So you look for these little marks. Sometimes the Bible would have little marks, and I can't find the little marks now on my Bible. It looks like it's like two lines with a little squiggly line. Okay, that might indicate that that's the beginning of a thought, and then when you see it again, that could show you that that's the end of a thought. So that helps out. And sometimes if you've got a study Bible, there's a break in it so that it tells you stuff like mine says the praise and properties of a virtuous woman on top. So I know somewhere around here is talking about the praise and virtues of the properties of a virtuous woman. Okay, so get yourself a good study Bible. I also have a life application Bible. A life application Bible at the bottom would actually give you more details about what you're studying. It might give you a biography of certain characters in that book that you're reading in the Bible. And it also gives you how to apply it to your life today. It kind of brings it to your present day, what you're facing and how it can be applied to you. You don't necessarily have to get a study Bible. Sometimes that helps if you're starting your own devotional for the first time. And then later on, as you grow more mature in God's Word and you establish your own devotional, you can use a regular Bible, or you want to keep your life application Bible. One of the things that helped me was I started using a chronological study Bible. That means that all the books are in chronological order. So instead of like this Bible where you have Genesis to Revelation, and then you got Genesis, Exodus, thank you. You might have Genesis and then it jumps to another book, but it's in chronological order of time frame. So that might help you out to figure out the history time of what's taking place, okay? And then the second thing to having a personal devotion is engage in prayer, meditation, and praise. Engage in prayer, meditation, and praise. Before you start reading God's Word, you may want to just pray to God. Show me what I need to learn from this. Help me to understand your Word. Meditation means that you're going to study the Word. Sometimes it takes you to read it a couple of times before you finally say, oh, I get it. I see what's going on. Okay? Because sometimes in the King James Version, some of the words is like a tongue twister because it's got the thees and the thous and stuff. And sometimes when I'm reading family devotions in our family, I get tongue twisted. My wife and children laugh at me because I pronounce things differently. And like if I can't figure out the pronunciation of the name, I just make up the pronunciation, but they know where I'm reading. So I have a Virginian accent if you haven't figured it out yet. So I say stuff like 20. 20. That's how you say it in Virginia. 20. 20 is 20. 20. Okay, I don't emphasize the Y. I used to say crown, like a coloring crown. It's supposed to be crayon. Okay? But I always said crown. And everybody says, what kind of crown do you want? I said, no, I want a blue crown so I can color the sky on this paper. And my aunt finally said, no, it's crayon. So for a long time, I kept going, crayon. She goes, okay, don't emphasize it so much. Okay? I don't say school. I say school. I don't say school. Okay? School. The L on the end. I don't pronounce it. It's a silent L to me. So my wife thinks it's funny. So I say Annapolis instead of Annapolis. So things like that. But you want to engage in prayer before you study God's Word. You want to meditate. So you might want to read the verse over and over again until you finally figure it out. Just because you read it during your devotion time, you might want to try to read it throughout the day, every once in a while, just to refresh you. That also will help you memorize the verses, God's Word, and hide it in your heart. You also want to praise God. Give Him praise for sharing His complete Word with you. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2, it says, it talks about praise or thanksgiving. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, it says, present your sins. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, plead with the Lord in humbleness. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through 2, pray on behalf of or for others. Spend time in meditation. Consider such things as the Lord Himself, His characters. Sometimes you may be asking yourself, I remember I asked myself, well, if God is real, then why is bad things happen in the world? Or if I'm supposed to look at God as my Holy Father, then how does that relate to my earthly life? Okay, and then you might have some questions that, like my son, my older son, he's 12 now, but when he was about 6 or 7 years old, he asked us one time, I'm driving down the road, and that's like, why when I'm driving down the road, he asked me these deep theological questions. He asked me, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? I started thinking, I said, well, because He's the only one that can die on the cross. The Bible says that He's the only way to heaven. My son's question was, no, why Jesus die on the cross? Why couldn't anybody else die on the cross? If Jesus is the Son of God, why does He have to die? Why did He have to die on the cross? So I finally understood the question was, his question was, why did it take Jesus' blood to die on the cross? Why couldn't it be somebody else? So I said, well, your pop-pop knows all the answers because he's a missionary, veteran missionary and stuff. I said, your pop-pop's real smart. And my wife's always talking about her dad, and so I've got this admiration for my father-in-law. So I said, why don't you ask your pop-pop? Pop-pop answered so simple. He said, Jesus is the Son of God. He is without blemish. He is perfect. But He needed to be in human physical form in order to shed His blood. Nobody else could do that. Not the angels. No one else. So that's why Jesus died on the cross. Because it took Him to shed His blood, which was perfect, so that we could be covered from our sins. I thought, wow, Pop-Pop answered so simple. I was trying to think of this deep theological answer. So those are things you want to consider. Consider the Lord Himself, His character. Psalms chapter 63, verse 6 talks about that. His wonderful works, both creative and redemptive. Psalm chapter 77, verse 12. His revealed Word, Psalms 119, verse 15. Things that are wholesome and praiseworthy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Praise God in song. You guys been doing that this whole time. You sing four hymns and, you know, I like praising God in song, but my family don't want me to because I don't sing it right. I make up my own key. I remember when I did youth ministry, we found this psalm hymn. Nobody knew how it went because nobody ever sang it. So I said, okay, I think it was praise, praise, praise. I can't remember the name of the song, but I know the words praise, praise, praise came in there. So I thought, if it's in there three times, that means it's supposed to be an emphasis. So I said, why don't we sing it like it's a machine gun? So when we get to praise, we do it real fast. Praise, praise, praise. You know? Nobody to this day, as far as I know, even knows how that song goes. But they sing it the way I sang it because they liked it. It was fun. So praise God in song, perhaps aided by recorded hymns. Maybe you want to listen to recorded hymns. Or you just take Brother Luke with you and just let him play alongside you the whole time, you know. Praise a natural response to joy in the heart, James chapter 5, verse 13. Make a melody in your heart, Ephesians 5, 19. Make a new song in your heart. You might want to hum it. You might want to, you know, you might want to take some verses and you ever wonder, the Psalms are songs, written songs. You ever wonder how they go? I always do. I said, how does that one go? You know, does it go in the chorus or what? How you sing that? Because there's no music to it. Make up your own music to it. Sing the Psalms in your mind, you know. It may be a good way to memorize Scripture. Talk with God through prayer, praise, and listen to Him by considering His Word. And here's my challenge, or my application to you. You are in a battle each day of your life. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, you're now in a spiritual battle. There's going to be people, there's going to be things that are going to try to draw you away from the relationship you have with Jesus Christ. You're being pulled away from God. You need to be equipped with the right weapons and grow strong spiritually. A strong personal devotional life will help you with that. The more you dive into God's Word and you read it and you memorize the words and you keep it in your heart, then the next time you want to share it with somebody, you just ask God, bring a verse to my remembrance. And God will. I haven't memorized the entire Bible. Some people have done that. I'm just good that I know John 3:16. I've been trying to memorize the four verses on the walls. Anybody done that yet? Oh, one person, a couple people have. Okay. I've been trying to memorize all four verses. I'm still stuck on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. So, I hope these suggestions will help you with your personal devotions. And I hope that the picture of the waffle things will help you understand. Anytime you start adding to God's Word or take away from God's Word the wrong things, just remember the illustration because it'll probably make you want to vomit. And then I'll remember, I don't want to ruin God's pure Word, okay? Let's pray.